we're going to go to Alan Steinfeld in New York. And once he interviewed us. Go ahead, Alan. Lay your shit on Ion.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, Alan. Welcome aboard.
Well, it's great to be finally in the presence of Ion.
This is your field. You're an expert in what Ion's all about. So
I don't know if I'm an expert. I don't call an expert. We're all beginners. I mean, but I'm interested in how to access the different parts of ourselves in the many worlds. Is there like a simple exercise we can do to reach these other parallel lines?
Well, they're found in amongst themselves. In music, it's all gauged and judged by the lines and spaces. Is it not?
The lines and the spaces, yes.
So are, and then the timing, are the repetition of those vibrations.
Repetition.
So are also the worlds.
So there's something about looking into patterns of thought.
But it's not thought. Thought will make your asshole sore.
How do we tap into these spaces and movements?
Soften the rigidity that makes them lines and spaces. Relax your eye. You know, magic eye, you see the little dots, and you can't see anything but dots, but you relax your eye. And all of a sudden, there's the sailboat in the middle of the picture, and it was there all along, but you didn't see it before. You relax it. And when you relax it, it's there all along. You're asking the question of how do I find or note or slip into the vibration that is contained within these other worlds. You didn't ask about the worlds. You asked about the fields around them. And that's okay. We like literal.
No, I'm interested in the world, not the field.
We know, but that's not what you said. So we know what you said. And literally speaking, we're going to get you to that part first, but that's what you asked.
Okay.
We're literal. You should be as well. Now, in your literal canonized position, once you come to the knowing or the faith that you're comfortable with it, there are, number one, that there are other worlds. Okay, now it softens that position again to maybe even engage them. Some people like to do it astrally or through an astral projection position. Some people do it from a feeling place, which makes us all of non-physical just want to go yak our guts up because it's just so nauseatingly, symptomatically revolting. It's more than we can contain, but it's some of that woo-woo business that everybody just adores somewhere. We can take you to places. Be so pleasant, but it's okay. We've been there before. It's all right. You'll live through it. We're sure. There's some methyl magnesia cannot hurt. No magnesium, extra magnesium. You'll be all right. Okay.
Now, I get it. I get it.
From the world, if you could find a way to allow a drop of water to fall into a glass, and that drop of water be contained within the glass that's already full of water, the space between the full glass of water and the added drop of water that you've added is the distance between those worlds, all of them.
Will the glass overflow?
It shouldn't. Try it. You can superimpose full. You can fill it up at the top and then to get down to that level and stick above it. Because the field holds it to the container. The field holds it to the container. It's once the breach is contained, it's when the world spills out of your otherwise effervescing cup.
Say that part again, when the bridge is not contained?
When you fill a glass to the top, you can add one more drop of water and it'll still stay in the cup. All of it. It'll go superimposed above the top of the cup. You can get down sideways and look at it and go, holy fucking God, this thing is sticking up above the top of the glass, and it didn't spill a drop until it's breached. Then that world is no longer contained. That's a little bitty practical example to show you rationally how something that cannot be is. And that cannot be the part is the place where another, yet another world fits. That was your actual question.
Yes, it was. Yes. Yeah.
We know.
So to ride, we're here to ride those, like, tops of those worlds, right? We're here to, like, sit in between those places
Some are. Some are. Sometimes you feel like a nut, and sometimes you don't. But you can't make that statement without that's why I'm here. I was born, I came forth to fit between the world. That's bullshit. It's about that there are no limits to where you can be. You can be, do, or have anything you want to be, do, or have. Well, blah, blah, blah. Yawn, boo, hiss. Bob's already gone to the beach. He'll be back in about a half an hour. Don't worry about it. The point comes that you want to find a way to navigate and to feel the force, or just your field, sometimes your world. Sometimes it's limited to a world. Sometimes you use a world as a vehicle to get you to another world. A lot of people drive worlds into other worlds. You have wars of the worlds collide. Look at all those big catchword phrases that people use all the time that can have very astoundingly specific meanings. For example, let's say you get in a car. When you get into a car, you get into all cars?
No, you get into one car.
But once you get into a car, do you know how to get into pretty much any car?
Probably you do, yes.
Is the process of getting in a car very different from one car to another car? The point is, if you've gotten into a car and you are familiar with the process by which that is achieved, that similar experience could be done from world to world, even though each of those cars can be specifically similar but very different. Some can be convertibles and you hop over the top. Some can be the General Lee on the Dukes of Hazzard where you climb through the window like a racing car. Some can be a Maybach where the driver opens the door for you. Those are really nice,
right,
too.
Most people get stuck in one place, in one world.
It's not our experience.
Not your experience, but other people.
No. It's not our experience. This what you're saying is not necessarily no. They fight to get into a position, and then they fight. They forfeit their very ascension to get to a place, and then they spend the rest of their days trying to get out of it. They fight to fall and then give up everything to not ascend.
So what is the key to ascension?
Lather, entropy. Lather. Make contrast. Make contrast. You do it easy, then rinse that out, and then do it again. And if you do that successfully, what you're going to find is that it takes less and less and less shampoo or contrast to make the exact same amount of lather. So now your problems become less and less and less and less. It takes less problems to get a great big lather that you easily rinse away. It's gone. See?
I think I'm saying that.
Then don't say it. Do it. Get your happy ass in the damn shower and wash and try it. And see how much soap you get. And then rinse that off and then do it again. Use less soap and it'll be the same, if not more, suds. We're talking about suds. And it's not logical that it would take less and less and less soap to make the same suds. Not logical.
So how do you transfer that to the life force is a negative entropy, though, isn't it? Because it builds towards complexity.
It's not complex. In an ascended state, it's the simplest thing in the world. It's only from a little man's position that you would even call it. It's like the great Buddha says that the path to enlightenment, you must forfeit all desire. And we say there's a problem with that because the quenching of desire, is that not a desire?
I get that. I think that's a Buddhist should hear that.
Well, it's not about that. It's another example of what you're saying. It's like, well, okay, if we can get enough negative entropy, we wouldn't have to be an asshole anymore. We could be a whole ass.
The key, then, to the ascension process is the same as going through the world, isn't it?
Can be. You're asking for the key. So we say, no, Bob, tell him about the keyhole. He's asking for the key. He needs the keyhole that goes through the door, and you have little Bob sitting on the mantle. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Yeah. No, Al, you've seen my book, Fatty Communion with Bob Dobbs. You know that book. The keyhole that he's talking about is on the cover of the book with the phone dangling out of it. And when I went to a parallel world once, I went through the keyhole, and then I ended up on the mantelpiece, being a little piece of porcelain, and all these big faces came up and looked at me.
And we reminded him because he remembered. we reminded him because he remembered. Had he not remembered, our reminding him would be telling him the very first time. But because we were able to remind him was what he'd already experienced. So his future past was from his present now, which got him back to then. And we were able to easily seamlessly translate him back into that little piece of porcelain just that quick. Click. We do it all day long. Then what happens is it's not the key to ascension, it's the keyhole. It's not the ass that's the problem, it's the asshole.
How do you get such a personality?
We get it from you. We get it from you.
You get your personality from us here, because that's how we relate.
Well, you don't relate. That's the problem.
Okay.
You don't. You establish your bias, and you go with everything from that bias. You are where you are. You take yourself with you most everywhere you go. And you know nothing other than what you will allow yourself to think you know that you knew. Because if you didn't know what you knew, you wouldn't know what you know. And therefore, the things you don't know, you wouldn't know that you didn't know them because you'd know them. But somehow it's amazing to us that you don't seem to know anything, but you know enough how to ask for everything. But how do you know to ask for the nothing that you didn't know that you don't know? If you didn't know, how would you know to ask what you didn't know?
So how do we know what we don't know if we don't know how to ask?
Well, you don't.
You don't know.
You don't know what you don't know. But the question is it the lather, rinse, repeat is how you sort that all out, because then you kind of go, well, oh, if I do this, this is what happens. Oh, do I like that? Yes or no? Remember Fortran? Remember back in the days of Fortran? Oh, okay, cobalt then. You want to go some cobalt? Where you have a little degrees. Take your mind like original programming. The android meme, the chip body. Oh, get us some kiss. Here's some Marshall McGiston. We just had some We could find out the beating is the message. Then what happened is, can't do that. That's old stuff. Sorry, Mary. Get you a big old drink of liquor, honey. You'll be all right. Anyway, now what happens is you get to siphon the messenger into the meme that you allow to become visually applied to your known recollection, which provides a platform for you to perceive perception itself.
Perceive perception. I like that.
Itself. Because perception is a thing unto itself, because it has a bias based on you.
But everything's perception.
No, it isn't. Perception isn't.
It isn't. How do we know anything unless we perceive it?
You don't. That's the point. But perception isn't perceived.
And the definition of perception doesn't help you understand a question like how.
That's why we say it's a degree of separation question.
Right.
It gets you further away from the answer, never to it. So you're right. Now, if you're going to tell me how to do it, we're listening. But if you're going to ask how, it'll end in tears.
Your main purpose here on the planet at this time is what would you say?
We are not on this planet at this time.
Well, in communicating with us right now.
Well, that's up to you, but...
I dragged your butt in here and you're stuck here.
And just like the Empire, we in the blue gin can and will strike back.
But you're here to help with the ascension.
It's Arabian Night theme, huh?
No, Alan, I want to play you this.
It's aperture science.
Wait,
yeah, let me play Alan this. He hasn't heard it. This is what we were just started playing tonight. This is a recent statement, Alan, that addresses your question. Listen to this.
Okay.
This product is only for ascending people.
Mm-hmm.
Not for unhealthy people, not people who are sick, not people who got all these.
We're not here to cure anything. We're not here to help anything. We're not trying to do anything. We're not trying to make you happy. We're not trying to prove your happiness. We're not trying to see that you're whether or not you're happy. This product was not created for your benefit, for your pleasure, or for your enjoyable delightment. Not for that. It's only for the ascended.
Only for the ascended. So that's an interesting statement, Alan, isn't it?
That's what we're here for. I mean, that's it. You know, I get it.
Well, we're here for other reasons. I am explaining why they're here. and they're only here to deal with ascension, but it doesn't involve pleasure.
Ascension must involve pleasure.
Ian, does ascension involve pleasure?
It can, but it's not part of it. No.
Is pleasure in the way of ascension?
No.
See, when you talk about ascension and versus pleasure, pleasure is the physical aspect, and ascension is the transcendence of the physical. Is that what you're saying?
No, we're not saying that at all. We're saying that your division of it is what caused the descension, to divide them, to parse those apart. It's why there is a fall of man. Had you never been able to take those apart, you'd have never fallen.
So we can't divide pleasure from ascension because it's all one thing.
Should be, but now you all are pretty brilliant. You can fuck up a wet dream. Get you some Portal 2, the music. That's what they need to hear, Bob.
Alan, the other night I was talking to Ian, and I started to get cute, and I started saying, our drops are not for the healthy. They're not for anybody who's sick. I just started making that up. And Ian took the ball and took it further and said, exactly, Bob. So that's how that came about.
Ian, anytime we make any kind of distinction, we are, messing things up here. Because there is no distinction in the ultimate realm. Is that it?
Alan, you're not messing things up if you're only thinking it. It's only if you say it are you messing it up.
Ask a different way.
Is thought equally as powerful as saying words in influencing yourself?
No, but in influencing yourself, yeah, you can get yourself all kinds of screwed up.
With thought, right. Ion, in saying words, I'm affecting all kinds of things. Then I think it. Don't say in the words, am I affecting as much? Well, only in myself. Okay, so we're talking about affecting the world around us, the outer kingdom? I've stumped you, Ian. You cannot answer this, right?
This was a triumph, Bob. Huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture science. We do what we must because we can, for the good of all of us, except those who are dead. But there is no sense crying over every mistake. Just keep on trying till you run out of cake, and the science gets done, and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive. I'm not even angry. I'm being so sincere right now, even though you broke my heart and killed me and tore me to pieces and threw me into a fire and they burned, it hurt because I was so happy for you. Now these points of data make a beautiful line. We're all out of beta. We're releasing on time. So I'm glad I got burned. Think of all the things we've learned. For the people who are still alive. Go ahead and leave me. I think I prefer to stay inside. Maybe you'll find someone else to help you. Maybe Black Mesa? That was a joke. Ha 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 ha. Fat chance. Anyway, this cake is great. It's so delicious and moist.
That's the lyrics to Portal 2.
Oh.
Sounds better, Ian, when you say them than hearing the song. The music gets in the way. I like what you did there. You said science was going to happen anyways.
Look at me still talking when there's science to do. When I look out there, it makes me glad I'm not you. I've experimented to run. There is research to be done on the people who are still alive. And believe me, I am still alive. I'm doing science, and I'm still alive. I feel fantastic, and I'm still alive. While you're dying, I'll still be alive. And when you're dead, I'll still be alive. Still alive.
Sounds like Carolyn.
So if our soul is this eternal part of us that is between worlds, is it possible to be in relationship with other beings in other worlds, have a love affair between these parallel worlds?
You do.
Explain that.
The act of coitus is the contrast that you present within your physical body. The soul, the stenographer, can sleep with another stenographer at any time. There's no rule against it. The same contrast that would give you an erection and let you achieve orgasm could allow them from a world to world to have the same expression. The same way you could create a force field and love someone 3,000 miles away and never speak to them again and just love, 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 love them. It also helps drive the thing of what you like. See, you have a visual sexual bias. It's a very incredible drive. It drives you. Sometimes that comes from other worlds more than this world.
The soul, though, is the vehicle described between all worlds, right?
Can be, but it's not. Can't get you to other worlds, but it's not. All a soul is a stenographer. It's just reporting the crimes.
Ayn had a different new version or definition of soul. It is attached to the physical plane. It doesn't go to the gut for anything. And it records all your actions, what you hope to manifest and what you do and what you don't. And all those that don't get manifested, the soul, as video stenographer, sends them to the gut. It's all the soul does. So when we're talking about our essence traveling around, that's not the soul.
I've heard that definition. It's the recorder in emotion, in all experience. It's the emotional value of those things that it's recorded, because it's, you know, the visual, all that, it's really essence of a feeling that then becomes...
No, isn't it just whether you do it or not?
It's more than a feeling.
What is it if it's beyond a feeling?
It's a song, more than a feeling.
I know, it's a good song.
Yeah.
Do we have a soulmate?
Yes, it's right next to the checkmate and a stalemate. A bunch of bullshit, what the hell
that is. Does Ayn have a soul itself?
No, we do not.
You're pure God.
We are complete non-physical.
But you manifest with your energy into the physical body, so...
Only because you creators would not. When we began, we did not create. Now we create.
Yeah, your energy is speaking through that body.
Oh?
What's making JW speak those words?
Oh, whoa. He's not necessarily even aware that he's speaking those words, so he's out of that picture altogether.
How is the sounds being made? What are you doing to the body that is making those sounds and words come out with those thoughts and expressions?
Well, what he is doing is he is not pushing against any of it. So we are easily to flow through, okay? Now, he has amazing abilities, all 9 or 12 or a lot of them. There's lots of them anymore. They have the ability to complete all kinds of incredible things, literally incredible things, instantly. Now, we flow within that world because there's no resistance. Ohmerage, there is zero ohmerage. There's no resistance. All those JWs, I have opinions about everything, and you won't change them. And it's just, ask Dr. Dean. She'll tell you more, way more than you want to know. Yeah, different JWs are a little different, but they're very driven with wanting every detail of everything because the devil's always in the details. But setting that aside, how we are allowed to flow is because there's no resistance in this realm for him. So, for him, this is no big deal. For some of you guys, it is a big deal. Though to him, it's no big deal. It's as natural as urinating. It's normal. It's what you're supposed to do. And get rough
if
you don't.
It's natural because JW has achieved a certain level of achievement in the world.
He would say no. He ain't figured out anything. He's still trying to figure out everything. He still wants all of it, and he wants it now.
You're not an aspect of his consciousness.
We absolutely are not. His consciousness, you couldn't stand.
He gets out of the way enough for the gusts to come through.
But he's busy. Yeah, he doesn't mind. He allows the river to run. See, he can drink any part of that river anytime he wants to, and he can stand right there beside it and let that river flow. And he knows that it's never that same river. That river's flowing. But yet, all of that river is his, and his beckoning command. He can stop the river. He can change the flow of the river. He can increase. He can decrease. He can do everything a rabbit can do to a stump. Blah, blah, blah. We've done that already. But he does not have to control every drop of that river, and that allows us
to be. But if he was to, you're saying if he was to live that, then he would start to ascend with the body if he was really aware of what he was doing.
He didn't say he was not.
How would he start to ascend his body physically into those higher realms? He's already out of the way. He already lets it happen. What's in the way for him from pure ascension?
You're not there. Well, we're still working with JW3. He will absolutely give away the farm. It is astounding what that imbecile will let out of the sack. There's no limit to how that goes. So we're still working with three, but the rest of them are doing pretty good.
Do all the bodies have to come together in order to ascend to the next realm?
Not at all.
It's just one body.
And this realm is your own. You don't ascend to a realm or a realm rather than another realm. You either come into your coronation and or throne or not.
Do we actually live in the same worlds with each other, or are we actually in different worlds under the illusion that it's the same world?
We don't like the word illusion because you don't know what you're speaking about. An illusion is something you see. To illumine is just but to cast light on. So to be under the illusion of an allegory sense or pattern is a false premise any way you go.
So are we actually in different worlds than each other?
The other worlds, like lines and spaces and music and rote music, there's gauging positions between the lines and spaces. Those other worlds are the spaces between those lines. So the answer to your question is that if you don't have hard-driven lines, yes, you can be in all those worlds and know it, step in time. You can go to another world, try some bullshit, something that's going to blow everything up over there, try it, come back here and say, yeah, I did that. I don't want to do that here. It was a mess there. Try it, try it, try it, try it, try it. That's how your big, nasty things happen here. If someone came here and tried it over here, it's like, well, these two idiots won't care. Are you kidding? They would have destroyed this ball of wax if they could have already. We try a little Fukushima. It's that little Fukushima going on. It's just a purple. It's a purple going on. It's all good. We tear it up on the weekends.
We could jump those lines anytime, and if we knew
you
how.
Do.
You already
do.
Do.
You just don't know you're doing it. That's why you're asking the questions. And what was said earlier was how very brilliant of you to ask that question. What would pose you to have that recollection of want to were you not ability or had already done it?
That's what I thought until you reminded me, then I knew it.
Let's see. How much gamma radiation can we shoot through our head before we affect the hypothalamus? Oh, I don't know. Let's try that and find out. Well, yes, that's a question if you haven't tried that already to say, hey, all this bell says it was great fun. Let's do it again.
So you think Fukushima is part of the radiation that's activating the deeper brain?
We don't think. We know it's changing the environment of this world. It is making the radioisotope 197 fluid throughout this atmosphere. It is changing the world. And everybody on this call probably could give you the Al2SO4 formula almost by heart. There's a quiz. You better get right. Better know what's coming.
So this world is mutating. The humans here are mutating.
No, you are coming back to your place as God. The way you are now is the mutant, less than version of the perfect you. We are undigesting the nastiness that is your experience.
So we needed the radiation to activate the God force.
Yeah. Back to God. The earth in a blaze. Go to our YouTube channel. All of the music is there. It explains it all. You got Marshall McLuhan and Walker Quadrant and
Linda LaRouche.
Thompson, and then do the Lindy. We do that Lindy. We tear up the Lindy, yeah. It sounds beautiful.
You're talking about this world where the mutations are being shifted. What about the other world? Are this happening there too?
Different. Well, you had to go see Doris Aker to figure that one out.
Doris who?
Aker.
Who's that?
Doris Aker in the Sky Pilot Choir. It's on the YouTube channel.
Oh, she's a gospel singer.
Yeah, in the Sky Pilot Choir.
So he recommended someone like Vestal Goodman, a great gospel singer.
Oh, no, that's different. That's different. He was asking about other worlds on the highway.
How's the radiation of other worlds affecting us, Ian?
No. Or is there no radiation in other worlds?
There is other radiation in other worlds. We like radiation.
Radiation is the engine of evolution, isn't it?
Oh, how glib and ridiculous. No. You're not evolving. You're de-evolving. So, no. It's the stopping of your evolution. You've done a tremendous job with evolution so far. You're almost back into a little slimy pit. So, good for you.
The radiation from Fukushima and Los Alamos is permeating everybody through their bodies. Now, you ingest RNA drops, according to ION, and that mixes with the radiation and makes a new being in oneself. And when you exhale that, it changes the outer world's ozone layer and everything.
Once you get the insulin nose right.
Which is the thing that makes up the RNA drops.
D122H197098. That was
the
formula. With a little beer back of purple, it gets right.
Beer back of purple. That's 122 carbons, 197 hydrogen isotopes, and 98 oxygens. That's the formula for RNA drops.
But don't say we said anything.
FDA says, where'd you get it from? We go, Ezekiel 122.
That's right. We got it from those filthy harlots in Revelation. Yeah.
When Ion's not here, what's he up to in those other worlds?
We are never not here. We are never not here.
But before JW, you weren't visible.
Have you seen us yet?
So you're saying you're never not here, but you're not always being used by JW is not always there. What happens when you're not coming through JW? Where are you?
All the JWs use non-physical completely every day in every aspect, in situation ethics and dynamics and things of his world, of what he prefers, of how he creates, of whether or not he likes his foie gras 141 degrees or not. By the way, he likes it 141 degrees. He's real particular about his foie gras. He adores it. Now, there's other things that he'll eat, just any kind of mustard. He doesn't care about mustard. You can have nice mustard or grain mustard or cheap mustard or old Hellman's mustard. To him, mustard is mustard. It doesn't make any difference. But you get that foie gras off by half a degree and he's on it like a bad habit. So we come into play in the pleasing and delighting phase of his realm and reality, okay? He's the ultimate processor. He processes to death. We're great for this because we can help, because we know everything. It makes everything so much easier because then you don't have to pine for stuff. Now, he plays it stupid because of it, because you got to fit in. Otherwise, it's a very lonely existence. If you ask the question and answer it yourself, there's not much to do after that, is there? So you balance and temper that within other humans, so you have to sort of spread that out a little bit.
So you're always part of this realm. You're just being vocalized at this point through JW.
We communicate lots of different ways. Because, see, we have the same question. How do you communicate with a deaf mute? Our most important work that we have done, the best session that's ever been done, was with Margarita. Bob has that. Best session ever.
Why would that be so good, Bob?
Margarita took her hour seminar and for a half hour of it just kept quiet. And they both sat there quiet while I eavesdropped, and they both came, both had orgasms, got horny, and fucking had an orgasm in the silence. So, yes, it was the best one for ION. Margarita just got off on the silence. That's how they communicated.
Yeah. Well, the only thing at the end had to be decided was to spit or swallow.
This ION is the highest of highest and the lowest of the lows. This is the
It's rough
it's
there.
Driving. But this the point. The point is the questions are good, but they all come back to the same answer. Get happier. Get out. Come into your place of power. Engage. Have the wrench repeat. Move on. Get on with it. Get on with it or get the hell out of the way. Get on with it. That's the point.
And one of the aspects of taking your power is getting your cold fusion cold play battery. Literally, to take our power is to get your cold play battery so you don't have to deal with the grid anymore.
We are obfuscating the grid. So if you don't, then you're going to be, as they say, powerless. Well, isn't that where the little man is already?
Yeah, I know you're waiting for the Coldplay, Alan, and our answer is it will find you. Don't worry about it. It will find you.
Your, let's call it, message is evolving. We're opening up to more of the frequencies or the delivery that you're bringing here. And as we start to acclimate to that, you give us more and more. So you keep uncovering more of the treasures that are already here, but we have yet to see it. So it's a process of your own revelation.
Your words are so beautiful. So let's go back. We're just reminding you of where you did this before to say this is where you set off to go less than, and these are the markers where you use to go back to more than, to the point where you come back to the marriage supper of the Lamb and you engage the blood of the Lamb, which reminds you that there's 144,000 double helix strands in your cells of your body, and if that RNA, the new information that changes the DNA through the lysosine position or structure that allows your body to change and make the perfect cells, come back to your place of God, get rid of your fucking mind, because it's just fucking you up. It's cranial intercoursing 101. Then you come to a place where you can be happy and know all, be all, do all, and be back to your place as God. And then the crowd erupts with elation as you come very quickly back to your throne and you rule your realm. And that's why they call it the Saturday rain.
But we had to get lost in order to be found. Is that it?
Apparently. It doesn't seem logical to us, but yes, apparently.
We're on our way back home.
We've already arrived.
In the land that your grandchildren knew. That was yesterday.
Yesterday, but it's yesterday and tomorrow.
Tomorrow is a holiday right that now. Never comes. It's like Tisha B'Av, it never comes.
But it's Tisha B'Av.
It's a holiday that never comes.
Alan, we're engaging with the impossible right now. We're doing what the ascended can do, engage and talk the non-physical. Right there, this environment. Never happened before in human history.
There you go.
The Tibetans never did it. The Dalai Lamas never did it. No one ever did this. And it's right here available for anybody to hear.
The Delphinian Oracle came very close to it because they got out of their mind. The Delphinian Oracle got very close to it because they got out of their mind.
From the fumes. The fumes helped them get out of their minds?
Of course.
But then the priest told what they said. We're not telling the people what
well,
we're not translating
you.
There
you go. Well, Bob does, and that is his ears mostly, but he undoes it just as quickly as he does it, so it's okay.
But, you know, I am speaking for itself. First time it's been given the microphone. It's bliss. Ion is the environment of the gut, what people die into. It's the pool they swim into. That's what's talking here.
Primordial soup, as it were.
But the gut has always been here with us.
It still is.
The gut has never spoken before, though.
You have upped the anthropomorphic ante.
He's quoting my paper from 1995, Alan.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Up the orphic ante. Remember Orphism? That was one of those mystery schools.
It's what the ogres fuck.
Okay, are the Eleusinian mysteries, which includes the Manichaeism or some parts of that, and Orphism, was that a derivative or an expression in mythical or storytale form of what went on in the Delphinian Oracle?
A bit, or fairyland, or the elves.
And it also involved psychedelic or...
You mean psychotropic?
They have psychotropics at the Delphinian Oracle.
You can, yeah, that's fine. The bad trip, man. That's what it was.
That was Watson's discovery about the psychedelic mushroom and the mystery of the Eleusinian mystery.
Yeah,
that was
Gordon Wasson, the banker.
Now, what you need to know about that, though, is it only lasts for 4 hours. It doesn't matter how much you take, the high is still the same. And if you trip badly, you should have sugar water. Sugar water helps counterbalance that bad trip, as it were. But if you take one, wait, don't pop another one to 4-hour process. Go slow.
Is anyone doing the Eleusinian mystery psychotropic
Alan,
drill?
You're muffling your phone. Speak clearly. Watch your phone.
His words are not as prolific either way, Bob. It's okay.
I'm saying, is anyone doing the psychotropic drugs that were part of the Eleusinian mystery at this time?
Yeah, lithium from Evansing. That's one.
Lithium is close to what they were taking before.
No, wait, the Evansing, the song.
You said lithium. That's a drug, right, Carol?
It's a song.
Do we do lithium, Carol?
It's a song.
Evanstein.
Lithium is a song by Evanstein.
I see. And that's equal to the effects of what they took to the Eleusinian mystery rituals.
I'm curious about the ascension because it seems like the planet itself is ascending as a physical being, or the Earth itself as a living being is ascending.
Fuck the Earth. What are you talking about? Hell no. This is a bunch of bullshit. That's like saving the Dixie fucking cup. Let it go. The world has been burning since the world's been turning. We didn't light the fire. Get over that crap. It's going to be it dues. If you could have destroyed it already, you would have. But don't vicariously forfeit your damn life force worrying about this ball of soup. Let it do what it did. And get over that environmental Al Gore separatism that sets you apart in some ridiculous nomenclature that can't apply to anything. Most ridiculous thing we ever heard.
Let me ask about some E.T. stuff. What do you think about the grays and the alien abductions?
We prefer the periwinkles.
Periwinkles. That's another name for them. The periwinkles.
Yeah, and then maroons and chartreuses and...
They're all over the place, aren't they?
Well, he's playing on the word gray. But, Alan, are you speaking with a pillow over your mouth? Why are you muffled? What are you doing with your mic?
I can't talk that loud. There's some people speaking.
Oh, okay.
Here.
You are. You're under the blanket. You're a little kid under the blanket. Yeah, okay.
I'm under the blanket, yes.
Right. You're going to be a greatest interview. You're doing it under the blanket.
And that Puticello did it. Beach blanket bingo.
50 years ago. Okay, Al, we got the conditions. We go forward, Al. We understand now.
Okay. I guess it's a metaphor for everyone doing it under a blanket instead of out in the open. Can you tell us about, how do we, so you're giving us these tools, the RNA drops, the bread, the cold fusion, and these are all for the ascension of humanity to these higher realms, and so we can live in a leisure pleasure world. Is that true?
Yeah. We'd also say we gave it, historically, put it a million years in your past so you could bump into it now so you could do it yourself. You don't need us. We've just been pointing you back the way through it so you could say, oh yeah, there's lamb's blood. Let's look it under the microscope. Look at there. I can't believe it. Can you believe that? That blood's different than other mammal blood. Look at that. I spin that blood out and it's different. Can you believe that they spin it out and it becomes different? Isn't that amazing? Especially with mint jelly. It's delicious. But if you spin that blood out, it's different. Imagine that. So you can find the clues right there. Just right there. Just in front of everybody. Just right
there. That's the key to Passover, actually, is the lamb.
You don't mean it. You don't mean it that Passover lamb can pass over. That it can pass over. Isn't that something? That you can eat unleavened things and gain a transitional position that allows the body to be obfuscated from a condition, however temporal, of the world. And at the end of the day, it turns right around and says, Pharaoh, my dick's bigger than yours, and my snake will eat your snake, so you better be careful because I'm God and you are not. Or if you are God, my God is bigger than your God. And now it's on. you see. And the next thing you know, the water turns to blood and the frogs and the firstborn are dying. It says no scene for the Passover. Okay? The Passover is very significant. It's very key. Much has been wrong. Because of the bones of Joseph. Were it not for the bones of Joseph, there would never be a Passover lamb.
Can you explain that more?
No.
That the bones of Joseph?
We're being a bit cheeky. We're being a bit cheeky. No, we won't.
It's like someone said Al did a headlock, and he still tried to speak, but he did a headlock. Great courage, Alan. Great fortitude there.
The tourniquet.
That was my first meeting with him.
You're hiding under a blanket.
The tourniquet around your neck. Turn it a little bit tighter. Just a little bit tighter.
The tourniquet around your neck.
Just a little bit. Not much now. Not all the way. Just a little bit. Okay.
We never brought up the significance of the bones before, Ion. That's new.
Well, yes, we did.
She's on to something, though. It's true. The bones of Joseph were relics that helped to create passageways there out of Egypt.
It caused the Exodus. We know.
Because it was part of the lineage that came down.
It didn't come down. It came up out of the land of And out of the land of Midian, that's when the ancient Samaritan Hebrewites took over.
That's why when I was at the cave of Hebron, I had this interdimensional experience there.
Yeah. You're at the wall at the Trinity, too.
So he's the guy you've been talking about, Ian, all these years. Alan was at the wall and had the Hebrewoid experience. Tell him about it.
Yeah, there you go. Wide open to the ancient Samaritan Hebrewoids, the Moab, and trying to take over Babylon. Great fun.
Well, what happened there, Alan?
No. When I was at Hebron, I was looking at the cave of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Sarah, all the patriarchal matrix, and I felt I was being pulled into these other worlds because there's like a interdimensional vortex there that these beings exist on that created the
It was a Dyson. Dyson did it. Yeah, Dyson.
What's that?
That's a powerful sucker.
A vacuum cleaner, says Carol. So there's a vacuum pulling there. That's not a sinkhole.
No, and it's driven by magnetic polarity, not pulse, but polarity.
Did they know that was there when they built the statues?
No,
it was a manifestation of the lineage that was
manifested.
That's bullshit, Alan.
It's a bunch of mess. No. You're acting as though it's something that lined itself up from the history of the world so that the history of the world can be manifest. Wait a second. That's not the point. The lineage didn't make the line. The line was the lineage. Okay, fine, but that's like saying the is's and the arnishes are there because of the was's. The was's prompted the is's and the arnishes, and that's not the case. So it's lineage business. It's a nice shot, but
What are we not considering then, Ion? You say it's a sucker, it's a vacuum.
Okay. Magnetic polarity, the distance between the polar advances, can set a field that can affect magnetic pull, which is a gravitational influx, which is important.
Well, are you going to be on the call next week? I can, my phone's running out of juice.
Yeah, he'll be here next week.
Is there next week? Is there a future? So we should go to your past and check the date, what you say hasn't come yet. And then to ask this question, you would preclude that there was indeed the possibility that we non-physical would always be there. So therefore, there's nothing that you've seen so far that would say that we were not here, which would then say, oh, we know, we'll form it in a question. Interesting. Nice. If you got balls enough to ask the question, we got nuts enough to answer it. soup to nuts, as we say in the tale of tea.
All right, we just have to come up with the questions that stimulate the higher answers.
You're doing fine.
Thank you. It's just my first introduction here.
Well, it's not our first. We've had you many times, and you were delicious every time.
Are you still in your apartment?
Yeah.
No, that's where you are right now. I met you in 2000, so here it is, 14 years later. Who would imagine when we were there 14 years ago that this conversation would come out of that scene?
But that's because there is no future or past. It would have come out at that moment because it was all
time. Yeah, it's not even a now. The new thing people got to realize is there's not even a now.
There's not a now, then what is there if there's no now?
A recording.
The recording of a totality of time.
That's what Ayn calls the neutrino. The neutrino is the physical particle of that fact.
Because that's everywhere. There's only one neutrino, and it's everywhere all the time, right?
No, I'm not saying that. I don't think there's just one neutrino. I'm just saying the neutrino is the particle they're starting to look at, and it's the particle that expresses the fact that everything's already happened. Everything has already happened. And that would be a fact in eternity, because if eternity goes on forever, then we've been here forever and everything could have happened already.
But if we know what's already happened, if we're in touch with that, then we've already rolled up time. Isn't it true?
Yep. I'll let Ion improvise.
We're already ascending then.
What factors are we not considering about the neutrino and the simple statement that everything's already happened?
Quarks.
Quarks get to another level, another depth?
Do.
What comes after everything's been recorded and already happened?
The future?
Mm-hmm. There is a future.
The future you have yet to know.
Oh, you know it already. It's your past.
Well, that's falling back into the continuum again, past, present, future. So
yeah.
There is way more futures recorded. Oh, it's a selection of different futures.
Well, here we are again. It's always such a pleasure. Remember when you tried to kill me twice? Oh, how we laughed and laughed. Just I wasn't laughing. Under the circumstances, I've been shockingly nice.
You want your
freedom ticket.
I'll call in next week, okay?
Come back when you can stay longer.
But you're always with me, Ion, aren't you?
Of course.
But you're not seeing what we look like. You're just with us.
Oh, he can see. But he can see us.
Oh.
He sees us.
Oh, no, but we may.
Okay, come visit, okay?
Okay.
Bob has a direction to my apartment.
We don't require any assistance from Dobby. Now, go make some new disaster. That's what we're counting on.
I really honestly have curiosity about whether or not there is a level of satisfaction attained by Ion through the coming forth to create. Is there satisfaction found in what's being created?
Depends on if you have any biases regarding it or not. We are satisfied. So
right.
We require.
Okay. So then it.
Because we are. No. From a JW standpoint, yes, you absolutely want the contrast that brings you to a conclusion. Otherwise, he won't play. He wants to conclude, to come to some conclusion. We don't require it. He does. So as long as he's not involved in that conversation, then it's just for fun. But once he's involved in the JW, once he's involved, then he always wants some laudable conclusion, as that we are doing a function for a purpose or a reason or a degree of satisfaction, as it were. So in that particular case, it is most satisfying, to have that engagement. So we are already satisfied, and exceptionally so when humans are also satisfied. Let's say it a different way. The point of coitus is more fun than completion, because from a human standpoint, the completion means it's done. But the euphoric bliss of afterglow of being done for the humans is worth it. But for us, the being busy with it is more fun than the completion of it. Humans want a nut. We want to get to the nut.
What?
Bob, you left them dazed, phased, and confused again, Bob.
I like the way Ian said phased and confused. That's Takeoff and Linkletter's film, Dazed and Confused.
Dazed and Confused, right.
Ian knows.
No. It's from Eureka. Like Insane and the Pea Brain. That's a good one, too. Tell Goobersnatch. That'll explain all that gobbledygook he was talking about earlier.
Yeah, Goobersnatch?
That Goober Peas.
He's falling off. Get him back.
Okay, the companion cube. The companion cube is a meme of anything with more complicated definition.
Our question would be, is there a reason or a purpose for a more complicated definition?
Can we define it then? The companion cube would be, for Portal 2, the companion cube is a cold fusion battery, possibly?
Let's try a galactic superhighway.
Oh.
Sarah, I need to ask this in case Ian leaves. Wendy wrote, Bob, do not want to ask this in case it is in bad taste, so I will run it by you first. But I've decided it's not in bad taste. Can Ion converse with Deborah Durbin and ask her if she recognizes it was her own choice to pass over?
She's with us. She chose, just as we said the other night when we talked to her. She chose. It was easier. She didn't want to be a bother. That's all. No trouble.
Well, was she a bother?
No, but she didn't want to be potentially a bother. So it's no problem. She's with us happy as a hog in slop.
So she already had judged herself and went right to the guff.
Not a judge. It's not a judge yourself. It's like, I'm done with this. Let's go home. We can come back and play another day. Thank you. I've had enough. Goodbye.
What do you mean? There's reincarnation? How could she come back and play
There's
another day?
There's not reincarnation. She is as eternal as she always was. She's just not in physical.
Incarnation.
Does she receive a costume change?
No, she does not receive a costume change any more than she had a costume change for this. We said all along, get happier, get out. And getting out means coming with us. And she was like, okay, I'm going to fight. I'm going to stay. I'm going to fight. I'm going to stay. And then it's like, ew, this is no fun. I don't want to be cumbersome. I don't want to be tubes up the nose and all that other horrible stuff. I'm done with this mess. Let's go. Hang on. Calgon, Ion, take me away. Okay. Come on, sugar love, let's go. Let's beat this pop stand. Boom.
All good.
Well, and she goes back into the cup as a drop of water in the ocean, and then new ones are coming forth, and she's part of that same goop that makes new, but not her. And all her unrealized creations are in the cup. That's why the babies come forth cable ready.
Oh, everybody who goes in the cup comes forth with whoever is born.
Starts
with everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's everybody. That explains that.
Yeah, forever.
Everybody's everybody.
Stenographer.
There's only one person being born.
But what's the purpose of the stenographer then?
To keep track of the realized and unrealized creation.
You want to think you're Andrew, and you don't want to think you're everybody, so the snarfer obliges you and provides your little take on your life.
You have things that you are trying to create, and they have not been made manifest in your life yet. Those things go to the guff if they're not realized in your physicalness here. If they are realized here, oh, I want to manifest a Porsche Carrera. And if you get that, then you got it. But if you don't and you go to the guff, then that Porsche goes with you or comes from there so that someone comes with it.
It's like siastole, diastole. You can't tell who's going there and who's coming from there.
Yeah, it's like a bad movie. Somebody's pitching and somebody else is catching. Yeah.
Okay, Madeline says this on Dupes. She calls this message bullshit. She says, if someone says they want to live and then they die, Ion would blithely declare that to transition was the fastest path to their joy, which Ion just did. She predicted that. she carries on, Ion also declares that there's no subconscious. So how do you explain someone being unaware of their own desire to transition?
They are aware. That's why they transition. You chose to come forth, you choose to leave. There's not enough angels in heaven or devils in hell to change your mind. It's your damn mind. That's your problem.
So how do you explain someone being unaware of their own desire to transition? And then she says, especially when Ion's right there claiming to make their illness disappear.
We do not make illnesses disappear. We comfort ills. That's what we can do. It's your creation. You created it. Our point of coming here is to get it to a place where you can get to the path of your joy. And we help you do that. That's a good day. No problem. You never transition until you say, I want to transition. Or you come to a place where you say, I don't want to transition. Then you don't until you do. And if you do, it's because you choose to. Every single time without fail or exception.
Last Saturday, she said she didn't want to die, didn't want to transition. What happened during the past 7 days?
She saw the angst in her husband's position of where this is all heading, and she said, no, this is enough. I'm good. Thanks.
So she did it for her husband.
Yeah.
Is that love?
He misses her. Yeah. We say yes. It's a horse field. He still holds her, and she still holds him in love. Yes.
But she's not separate. She's in the guff, right? She's the totality. So that everyone in the guff is holding him as well.
Hopefully. That's what you want.
Why does the stenographer stick around? Why is it hanging around on Earth and whatnot for the next guff baby to come down? And yet it's a specific resonance, isn't it, to that prior individual who went to the guff? What's that all about?
It's the separation between you and you. You could just go become God. You don't have to transition at all. You don't have to have any transition. You can have a straight ascension. That's what Jesus showed. Without Jesus doing the ascension, the Christians ain't got a prayer. And there's about a dozen verses about the entire process that makes the whole thing work or not work. You can go straight to ascension. You don't have to separate yourself from your meat sack body at all, just like Lazarus. But you certainly may if you want to.
And then
you can save people from the dead. Somebody's got to die. God damn it.
So the soul that was attached to Deborah, that soul remains here. Does the soul then attach to a new being that's born?
No, it does not.
It stays connected to Deborah. Her soul stays here.
No, it holds that face. That's right. It's like files. They don't decorrupt. And even if you move them on a hard drive, they're still that file.
Right. So if I see a ghost of Deborah, I am seeing her soul.
Not necessarily, no. You may not. She is as alive now as she was then. We had the long conversation about describing someone between being live and dead. It's like describing a human as a crawler before they're able to walk and a walker. You don't separate them that way. Oh, he's a crawler. Oh, he's cute. He's a crawler. Oh, look, he took his first steps. Oh, he's a walker. Now he's a walker. You do all that just fine, but you don't spend the rest of eternity describing them the difference between a crawler and a walker. Then what is that? He's alive. Oh, but he's dead. He was alive then, but now he's walking, so he's dead. You don't describe them that way, and it's no different. Absolutely no difference.
She never transitioned. She just changed her address.
Okay. She's a walker now. Okay.
But the energy that is the most of her will come back at some point in time?
No, you're not even qualified to have in this conversation. No. Don't worry about all that, because all that does not matter. So it's not antimatter, but it does not matter. Here's what happened. You're still eternal. You're as eternal as you ever were. So the eternalness that is you still is. Regardless of your address, and Bob actually pretty cleverly stated, it's rare. He actually gets things down and again once in a blue moon. Don't worry, he'll undo it in a minute. Just give him a second. All these great, wonderful things he obfuscates about as quick as he gets them out. So that's a good thing always. But The point is that you're as eternal as you always were. Otherwise, what's forever for? So if there is a forever, and if there is a, here's what forever's for, to mark that expansive eternity that is you in your place of power. And whether or not you include a meat sack to that, that's your business. You stay in this body, you don't have to go. The only way you get out of this body is you choose to go. The only way. You cannot leave this body without you wanting to transition. Period.
Ion, it's Andrew. Are our bodies becoming more conductive as the pH is shifting toward negative? Would a greater euphoria be the result of decreased ohmic resistance, thus allowing for increased electrical ionic flow throughout the body?
You got to look at all the conditions. Until all the conditions get equal, any way you go may be less than. It may not be enough. So why don't you do an overview and see how the whole thing is coming together and then parse it out and decide which part's going to be much more significant than another, and that'll set the path of which way to do it.
Does the magnetic molecular energizer with its negative body polarity change or increase the conductivity of the body?
Not a bipolarity. It's a singular polarity. It just has two, a positive or negative field. And the strength or the dimension of the resistance is the distance between those two poles. So that's why they snap together when they're trying to make the distance between the north and south pole further apart. So the closer they are, the stronger that pull is magnetically. So to change that conditional response, any time you can move the poles further apart, will make a more stronger bond. Is the goal.
Because the charges are aligned?
No, the charges are opposed. But the reason they pull to each other, they say opposites attract, so you can be further away from each other.
And
so
that
the
increases?
Lines can be further apart. No. Listen to what you're saying. You got two magnets. You put them on the table. The reason they come together, if you put north to north, it pushes, it repels. It does not repel. It just won't come together. But you take north and south and snap. Comes together. The reason it attracts is so that the north and south pole can be one further apart from each other.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you that
further apart.
That's just a bit different than what's taught currently.
Taught by whom?
Most of the books talk about magnets as having an attracting property, not that they're like a vice grip where they're,
but they don't.
They're pushing together.
They don't. They only repel. They can't attract. And if they attract, guess what? They would attract from the north end or the south end. They don't. So they can't attract. They only repel. And the reason that they repel is so that the distance between the two can be the furthest they can be.
And why is that?
Because they don't attract. If they attract, they attract on either end. North and north and south would attract. If a magnet attracts, but it doesn't. It has opposing polar fields. The reason that they come together is so that the distance between the north and south can be further apart.
And that's needed because...
That's the only way it works. And the reason we're explaining it this way, because this has a huge to do with how your biosulfuric positions are going to be calculated. You're going to recalculate the way even resistance is gauged. But that won't come up yet because you haven't asked that question, and we aren't going to answer this.
All right. Well, venture on here. The emerald tablets, that refers to aligning the body head facing north and then south for 1 hour each. What, if any, relationship is there to the principle of that molecular magnetic energizer or whatnot?
Do not attract, they repel.
But the principle of the body is to align what the tissues?
Repel. Your body repels. Your pump repels. You have systolic and diastolic pressures that are fighting each other, and it makes a fighting flow. The blood doesn't pump hard out. It pulls blood in.
It's more of a cavitator, right?
Well, you know what we're talking about, so that's why it applies to this other bullshit you're asking about. It applies the same way. No question. You're right.
Most of these things are asked backward, then.
We don't want to just glibly say that, because then you're going to spend the rest of your life going through finding everything that's not that way. So this particular case, as far as whether magnets attract or repel, we ain't budging on that one. That's right. And in the condition of the human response of how the body flows, we can also take your heart and stop it, put you on a heart-lung machine, and not have a heart at all, and have the android meme pump your blood for you. And we also can then run it through dialysis and filter out the pathogens. So
you can do that, but
you don't
that's
have
not
a lot
the principle.
To do with it. You don't have a lot. That's not the principle. That's exactly right. But it would be the exception to the conversation of the rule of you're asking and this questioning. So
well,
the,
well, like a coil, there's the push and the pull, right?
No, there is not. No, a coil does not have resistance until you apply resistance.
Okay.
A coil does not shoot until you compress it. The compression is what causes the shoot.
What I'm getting at is the magnetic field radiates
out. It does not radiate out. That's what we're saying. A coil does not shoot until you compress it. The attraction or repelling of a magnetic pull or a pulse or a pulse energy flow only repels. So, yes, and that's how it works. And a coil won't punch until you compress it. You're trying to get to ohmage, and that you're right, but from a battery standpoint, a magnet does not attract, it repels.
Did I transform small bits of lead into gold with those tetrahedrons?
No.
What was that then?
Aluminum chloride.
There was some change in the surface of the material, but it was not yet to that. Okay.
You can't. You don't want to. See, there is a way to do that, but you don't want to. If you need some extra gold, just go to another world and get it, because if you start converting it, then you're just going to mess up everything else. But we've got enough radioisotopes. You got to go down the mercury line.
we're warm enough as it is. Okay.
So what's up with the 90,000 ohms you were talking about earlier? What circuit is that referring to?
One that has a curative process for curing, as in a Virginia hand.
Was that a reference to the reduction in time, or okay?
No.
What were you trying to get at with that?
Revelation 2:16.
That's donut territory for me. All right, good enough. Is the name Gilgamesh referring to Gilgamesh, like in the Epic of Gilgamesh?
Yeah. Is it what?
Is the name itself really referring to, or could be referring to, RNA and its process of transcription?
No. It's about information. And RNA is too, but that's not what it refers to. It's about inscription, not transcription. Inscription is different.
But it's not referring to the cellular process then?
No. That's not transcription. It's inscription.
Is the herb in the well, then, what is that referring to? Is it referring to the RNA drops?
It refers to a fly and the salve.
That means?
S-A-L-V-E. It's kind of like a bombing.
Yeah, I know. It's a salve.
Bomb.
A fly in the ointment.
Fly in the ointment.
Thank you.
We didn't say ointment. We said the salve.
What was the cause of those penises and the ice cubes I produced from that water and the tetrahedron and the spark gap?
You're asking because you don't know, or you're asking because you...
Well, I'm wondering... No. I'd like to know more about that. What's going on with the crystalline nature of the water that allows it to do that?
It's changing.
How is it rearranging that it seems to want a push of gravity?
Well, because of the resistance is changing, and you are single-handedly removing the oxide out of the H2O.
So I'm changing the pH by that.
No, you're changing oxygen, and that will cause a negative pH. You are dismissing oxygen.
I'm sorry
it's
to be so dismissive.
It's what rots you.
Is that the major cause of aging?
Well, there is no aging.
Okay.
You don't have the same
right.
No, hold on. Now you say right, but you make these little glib statements, and then you say, oh, right. No, let's go at it. Here you go.
Okay.
To oxide something, it's like to with iron, Fe.
Right, right. You're ripping the electron off, right?
Every time. And here, at the cellular level, what happens is it's sloughing off cells. So if you're going to call it the staph infection that causes necrosis that allows you to have new dermis, okay, fine, but that's not what you meant. You meant from an inside, more cellular level, not a topical application.
That's correct. I'm sorry. I was not very specific. Yes, I apologize.
Well, that's why we're not letting you get away with it, because then you'll turn right around and say, well, all you said. Well, no, we're going to be real clear. So,
yeah, I know, and you are literal.
From inside out or outside in, then no, it doesn't apply. But from a standpoint of how the body changes or what it requires as far as sustenance, then you're going to find a hydrogen. You got more hydrogen already anyway than you do oxygen. So people say you got to have air, you got to have air, but that has nothing to do with oxygen. The less you have oxygen, the more those isotopes have a less and less of a half-life. So much so that those radioisotopes then become stabilized. What? You mean you can stabilize the half-life of an isotope? Yes. Without oxygen, you can every time, because you change the very base and the status of what you call the Ohm ridge level, that it causes that path of resistance to cause the electron to rip in a positron or into an alchemic view of the space. Now, a space between the neutron and the proton, or having electrons going around it within a cell, is known as the what?
I'm sorry.
I know.
You
can't not.
I'm listening. Not. You're right. Okay, so what are we talking about?
It's the ionosphere.
Oh, of course. All right, okay.
That's the space. That's where you're having this deference or difference occur. And we say deference and difference. That's different aspects. Yeah? As you have less and less and less and less oxygen, then the covalent bonding can become about a million times more connective. We're not talking about bonding, we're talking about connecting.
Why is that?
Because carbon is what you're going to use to be the new relevant binder. That's why they talk about the carbon footprint. Everybody's scared the life of it. It's because we're going to need lots of carbon. You'll see.
Because carbon's a good electron donor?
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I hope to have a good sandwich when all this is going on here. Mm-mm.
Get your good old Dagwood sandwich. Mm-mm.
Oh, yeah.
I want a Dagwood. That sounds awesome. Fry it up with some bananas, too.
Yeah. And a grinder. Do it as a grinder. And have maduros. Make some maduros to go with it. Mm-mm.
Maduros. What's that?
Fried bananas. Maduros. It's a plantain.
Oh.
That you cook and then smash and then cook again.
Oh,
put it on your sandwich.
Is Randy Cynthia a yayo?
Would you like it to be?
No, it doesn't have to be. And you don't even have to answer it. It was one of those questions that it's Randy's to ask, right?
Well, no, we don't mind engaging. But see, from the essence of creation, it came from somewhere. The literal vicissitude that you prompt seems like a great fun thing to engage. So develop it. We'll go with it.
Is this a reference then to what you were talking about earlier about our grandchildren?
No, it's an inference. To infer.
Is that what you meant, or is that encompassed in what you meant?
It would be embraced in it. You're trying to get a past through perfect tense of your future experience that's in your past. That's the only way you'll recognize your future from your past. So if you put your future in your past, then you'll recognize your now.
We're just picking and choosing at every moment, then, which particular blue perfect we wish to engage in, right?
Well, imagine that. That's why it's so much fun for us. I mean, you're just all over the place. You're happy, you're sad, you're hot, you're cold, but you don't know hot till you're cold. You don't know up till you're down, you don't know down till you're up. You don't know what this world feels like. You don't know what the last world felt like. You don't know what the next world's going to feel like. You don't know which end is up. You kick and tear it up. You go 100 miles an hour and you're mad because you're going too fast. You go too slow and you cry because you're going too slow. You go to bed because you're sleepy. You get up because you're tired. You lay down because you're bored. Then you're bored. Then you want to go to work. Then you don't want to work. When you get to work, you don't want to work. When you get off work, you get off work. That's when you want to get all your work done. Then you want to eat. You want to eat. Then you don't want to eat. Then you poop and you don't want to poop. And you eat because you don't want to poop. And you poop because you don't want to eat. Then you're going to get fat. Oh, we can't get fat. We've got to do this. Got to do that. Got to do this. So you end up getting eaten because you can't stand it because you're too fat anyway. So it's like, now what? And then you're down to skinny bones thinking that you're fat and wondering how you're going to get back to work because you're not bored because you can't get it done. You don't know how you got there. Then you turn and you cry and you wish for so much more and you hope for a better life and kind of get a better life trying to get it all together. Don't know how you're going to get together. Just go out there the best you can do. Then you find out that your morbidity affected your proclivity that allowed you to have joy and bliss in this thing experience called your life. Mm. Then you shake yourself and wish not the spirit had indeed departed from you and try to find some way to come back to your place as God.
I'm working on that with a glass of wine right now.
Nice.
It's a Sonny, Yael, Play Yael, and there's supposed to be a fourth one. What's the fourth one?
Ipsa.
The last one's at the boat here? They're at the. Are they got bigger heads than the rest of them, or smaller? Or
neither.
They're the last to be seated. This is one of those who came first.
First should be last, and last should be first. But now we're back to pitching and catching again, aren't we?
Yeah, I recognize when I said it. How silly that was. Fair enough. I know it. Which overbalanced wheel concept? Which one's the better one to use? Brace and bit. So that's the one with the gears.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. It's the least we could do.
Why did the magnetic arrangement on the neon, remember when I was playing with that with all those magnets and whatnot, what was going on that allowed that horsepower increase?
Resistance. Well, you decreased resistance, increases kinetic or potential energy. Yeah, I like this as a surprise. You put helium balloons on the scale and the weight will reduce.
Yeah, there you go again. So the box with all the little spark gas, is it more effective when they're moved around?
Rearranged, not moved around.
In what order? In what way? I mean,
stay with it. Because we attain, you wouldn't believe us. You just question. You say, well, that can't be. We've got to do it this way. Well, that's not the way they did it here. And the very idea, where in the hell did you come up with that monstrosity of a thing? We can't just go around rearranging things with the very idea. But now be very careful that you have a good stenographer to note your arrangement. So when you find the one you like, you'll be able to get back to there again.
All right, well, maybe I won't try that experiment. Thanks.
Yeah, play with it.
Maybe I'll bypass that timeline there.
Please yourself.
Others sound more fruitful. I don't. Something about that shocking experience.
I like you.
Yes, exactly the problem there. Yeah, it just might. Okay, good enough. That's why I'm picking that non-physical brain. It's like, let's see what works before it's trying to screw up and find myself a job.
No, you've already done this, and then you now come back to us to ask us what you recall. That's why it makes sense now, because you are recalling.
This is just so wacky.
No, it's not. It's not normal. What wacky is when they people sit around and spend all day every day asking us questions of what they already know so we can tell them what they knew when they knew that they knowed it. So then the resident node became the new node, and the new node became the old node. Then the old node becomes the thing they didn't know because they didn't know, so they asked. But they didn't know enough to ask. If you didn't know, you wouldn't know that you knew enough to ask. But you don't know that you didn't know, because if you didn't know, you wouldn't know that you didn't know. And how would you know that you didn't know unless you asked? But if you did, if you had the ability to ask, how would you know that you didn't already know?
Because you already knew before you asked the question, yes. Because there was always the answer before there was the question, is what you're saying.
Always.
All right.
This is Ada. I would like to ask about animals. I figure we have called all of them four, and now that environments are changing, I wonder specifically about bees. Is it we who help them develop into new environments, or we simply let them go and call forth new varieties?
They're leaving this realm. They're leaving this world, bees. And you're asking about beasts of the planet. They're changing too. But specifically, bees no longer are necessary for flora and fauna pollination. See, the oxygen is leaving, so they'll pollinate. The pollinate will be natural. There'll be a more asexual ramification within the flora and fauna.
Nomenclatures
within the strata.
Could you tell us something about the storm we had?
It's probably got more of a convergence than what you just say, a storm.
We got so surprised.
Really? But yet you expected it. You expected it, but yet you were surprised. Isn't that interesting? Did you expect the storm?
No, I didn't expect the storm, or it didn't become conscious to me, so I forgot to really protect the place here, and then things fell over and... That wasn't very nice. And no one in meteorology expected it in Sweden, so there was traffic chaos and things like that.
Well, not quite that.
What was it, a convergence? Ion, what was it a convergence of? We're not back to it.
Oh, the storm was not so much of a storm, but a convergence. Force field convergence. Shift.
When did you have the storm, Era?
Last night. Everything fell over in my pulmonary tunnels, and all my plants, or half of my plants, messed up. Just throw away.
What part of Sweden are you in?
The very southern coast. Very close to Ystad. Very close to Copenhagen and Malmö and
south. Right. Ian, you didn't say what the convergence of the force fields, but what... material levels of the spheres is this you're talking about that's converging, or does it involve fingernails?
She had a storm, and the storm wasn't really necessarily a storm. It was more of a convergence.
Of what?
Of energy.
Can you tell us something more about the Swedish melancholy? Is it a true state we have imagined for ourselves, making it more difficult for ourselves to be happy?
Happiness is relative, but it can affect how you perceive happiness. How you perceive happiness has more to do with it than whether or not you're actually happy or not.
But is there something special in the Swedish mentality which makes it so easy for people to stay in the dark or stay in the sad or stay gloomy?
Yeah, I mean, it can, but it's not everybody. Just a lot of them. You just kind of go with it. It's like, well, this is our lot, so we'll go with it because we can't be offered anything else. So we'll stay there till we can't do anything else.